Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from London in the United Kingdom and transmitted by Skype to the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. Starting next week at Watkins Books in downtown central London, I'll be giving a presentation on my new book, Messages from the Masters, on Thursday, June 13th from 6:30 PM to 7:30 PM at Watkins Books. Watkins is Europe's most famous and well-known spiritual bookstore, and I hope you can come. The presentation is free, and I'll have copies of my new book, Messages from the Masters. And after the presentation, I'll be doing readings. And if you are in England and would like a reading, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. After England, I'll also be giving a free presentation in Dresden, Germany on Thursday, June 27th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. For more information, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we will make this earth a much better and happier place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area. And now we have over a quarter of a million listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. And also, I want to thank my angels today, tonight especially, because I ended up spilling water on my computer tonight. And I didn't know if it would work. And I used a friend's hair dryer and dried it out, and it's working fine. So thank you, angels, for saving my computer tonight. Today, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time, or 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. London time, I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks from England, where I am tonight. Then from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time, I'll be bringing back James Redfield onto my program. James is the famous author of The Celestine Prophecy and other books, and I'm so happy he will be coming to my show. I also wanted to mention that he will be coming on to the Portland, Oregon area on July 27th, and I hope you can come then. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. And for everyone who donates today, I'll be very happy to give you a free reading. To donate, just go to the webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I also would really like to thank Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their beautiful support and their recent contribution for a new library for the Hoping Indians in Arizona, as well as my wonderful friends Marion and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show as well, and we're also looking for sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been signing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactics, Galactic Alliance, who I know are listening today and been supporting the show, my angelic and earthly family, of course, Eric and KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who have passed on, or contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email anytime to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. For the next couple of weeks, I'll be traveling in England, Switzerland, and Germany. And if you'd like a reading and you live in any of those countries, please send me an email and I'd be happy to meet with you. I also, for the new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona, I want to thank again Corey and Saul so much for their beautiful contribution. I've also received pledges of many free spiritual books from various people. And if you'd like to donate your spiritual books and or monies toward this worthy goal, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I have some fantastic spiritual events I wanted to tell everyone about. This summer, I'll be going back to Mount Shasta, which is one of the world's most spiritual places. The cost is only $200 per person, and I hope you can come. I'll be going from July 2nd to July 8th, 2019, and again from September 5th to the 11th, 2019. Mount Shasta is a very special and magical place where miracle healings occur. And the last time we were there, in September of last year, the Telosians and Adama, the high priest of Telos, healed my eyesight. I did have 20/50 blurry vision in my right eye, and after being there, Adama, the high priest of Telos, asked me if I wanted a healing for my eye. I said yes, and he's restored my eyesight to 20/10 crystal clear eyesight in both eyes, which is much better than 20/20. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Also, after my presentation on the 13th at Watkins Books, on June 20th, Michiko Hayashi of the Moto Peace Project from Tokyo, Japan, will also be giving a free presentation on her beautiful Messages from Water and the work of the famous late Dr. Masaru Emoto. He found that consciousness can and does affect our water and our environment. Her presentation will be from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at Watkins Books, and the beautiful Moto Peace Project children's books will also be available. I hope you can come. For those of you in Germany, she will also be giving a presentation with me in Dresden, Germany on Thursday, June 27, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. I do have the name of the venue in Dresden, but I cannot pronounce it. It's German. But please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to tell you where it is. Also, I'm continuing to raise funds for the clean water for the Hopi and Navajo Indians in Arizona. And with that, what I'd like to do is just bring my friend, good friend Leon McLaughlin on, if we could do that now, Eric, just briefly for a few minutes, and then we'll go on to interview my friend Simon. Just let me know when he's on the line. Also, the Hopi do not have any kind of functioning library for children and adults, with the result that many young people, unfortunately, get into drugs and crime. So I'm fundraising now for $10,000 to help put together a library for the Hopi Indians with books, computers, and librarians. We've already identified two possible locations in two free building sites for a new library for the Hopi, where in addition to a cultural museum where language, culture, dance, and cooking classes would be taught. If you'd like to donate to this worthy effort, please send any monies or books or good used computers to me at Ted Marr, P.O. Box 5331 Lacey, Washington 98509. On behalf of all the Hopi elders and their beautiful people and culture, thank you so much for supporting our efforts to get clean water and a new library where their beautiful culture can be fostered, enhanced, and cherished. Now, I'd like to see if Leon is there. Eric, we can go ahead and bring him on for a few minutes. Okay. Okay, Leon, could you introduce yourself to my audience?
Yes, Ted, thank you so much. My name is Leon McLaughlin, CEO of the Clean Water Foundation, that provides clean water to children and their families around the world. And our latest project, we have been providing water for the Hopi and Navajo tribe, having fundraisers throughout the year. And they've been pretty successful. So, it's been amazing. What an amazing start. And we're happy that we're now providing the children and their families clean, fresh drinking water. And they had arsenic and uranium in the water, and it was really horrible. And we're solving that problem now. So great things are happening.
Leon, you're truly an angel, my friend. And then tomorrow, for those of you in the Seattle area, you're having a fundraiser on June 8th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at a restaurant called the Raw Bar, R-A-W-B-A-R 89. The address is 89 Kirkland Avenue. And it'll be for all the proceeds will go to raising money for water, for new water filters for both the Hopi and Navajo Indians in Arizona. And I want to thank you so much for doing that as well, Leon. And also, could you mention something about Greg Zaser, Z-A-S-E-R? He passed away recently, but he was a beautiful man who helped deliver the first clean water units to the Hopi.
Yes, Greg was amazing. Greg Zaser. He just recently passed away, but when we started our Hopi project, the Hopi and Navajo Water Project, he actually delivered the first water unit to the Hopi tribe in Arizona, and he also put a theme song together for the Hopi tribe for the concert that we're going to be having out there. So he was an amazing man. He was dedicated to the Hopi and Navajo tribe, lived out there in Scottsdale, and also lived here in Seattle. And we just want to give an honor to him. We'll be doing that tomorrow, too, mentioning that.
Wonderful. There will also be a huge gathering, cultural gathering at the Hopi Reservation. If you're in the area, would like to come, it's either on October 12th or the 13th. I think it's on the 12th. I will announce more details in our next broadcast. I plan to be going there as well. But Leon, thank you so much for your beautiful efforts. Could you please give your website out too for people?
Yeah. If anyone would like to donate for this project that we're doing for the Hopi and Navajo tribe, the website is www.cleanwaterfoundationwa.org. And thank you, Ted, for being amazing to us, the Hopi tribe, and the children. And we're also working with Dr. Emoto with the children books. Every water unit, we give a children book from Dr. Emoto to the kids.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your angelic efforts, Leon, for clean water for these beautiful people. Thank you so much again for coming on, Leon.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. All right, my friend. Great, great. And with that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Simon from England. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. I'm fine, thank you. Nice to speak to you.
Oh, good, good. Feels like we're just right next door, doesn't it?
Well, perhaps we are in a way.
We are in a way. That's right. We're in the same country tonight. So just briefly, for those of you just tuning in, Simon appears on my show on the first and third Fridays of each month. He's a lifelong experiencer of aliens, shadow people, elementals, and UFOs, mantis beings, draconians, reptilian, and all kinds of other creatures that which can't be identified. He was an elected politician and served for a full term of office. His parents work with both American and British intelligence services. He's a wonderful guy, and I'm so happy he's on my show today. His website is www.simonparks.org, and his interview is always out of this world. So anyway, Simon, thanks so much for coming on my show today.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Ted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's so much going on tonight, Simon. My goodness. President Trump is or was in Britain, and he met with not the prime minister, but the leader of the opposition, Nigel Farage, and told the prime minister to get Brexit done. When he came on his state visit, he also brought a huge amount of people, 1,300 according to your post, and all kinds of equipment. What I'd love to have your opinion on that, Simon, and also your special – you put a special post on your website about that this was a very critical time for the world.
Right. British politics are very, very difficult for British people to follow, so it's doubly difficult for people from the U.S. And I can see how you thought that. He didn't actually meet the leader of the opposition. Nigel Farage is not the leader of the opposition. He's a guy who's created a party which is very, very pro-leaving Europe. It's called the Brexit Party.
And
what happened was that by meeting him, President Trump basically snubbed both the British Prime Minister and the British leader of the opposition because... It's supposed to be a state visit.
Oh boy!
He decided that he would meet because you see, remember that when Trump was on his campaign trail in 2015, 16, he had Farage with him because he wanted some advice about Europe. So he met Farage, and that was designed, I think, to say to Britain, come on, get your act together, because Trump is very keen to do some business deals with Britain. But whilst Britain remains a member of the European Union, we're not allowed to do deals. Can you believe that? We are not allowed as a sovereign nation to do any deals with the United States of America or anybody else for that matter outside of Europe. Isn't that credible?
Oh, that's amazing. I mentioned this the last time you were on, Simon, but I did hear that story about how EU officials in Brussels were telling people in Britain when they could boil hot water for tea, or how much tea they could boil, or how much hot water they could make. I don't know if that's true, but this comes about the same kind of problem.
I think the problem the British have had is that, when you're an island, a small island, as Britain is, you tend to get a bit insular. You tend to get a bit in on yourself. And remember the last time the British lost a war in their own land was over 1,000 years ago. So when somebody in Europe starts telling British people what to do, I guess there's a pushback. And I think that's what we're seeing. There's a bit of a pushback against Europe.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting. Has President Trump left Britain already for the continent? Yes. Or is he?
Yes, he has. He's been to Ireland.
Okay.
So to Ireland, and of course, commemorating the the D-Day landings in France. So President Trump has been there because there lots of American service personnel lost their lives, as did others.
Sure.
So he's been out, you know, trying to see as many people as he can.
Sure.
You're right, he took a large number of security personnel with him, but he's the first president of your history to take all his family with him. He took all of his family with him, all his children, everybody. And that was to get them out of America in case there was a problem.
One of the things, you made in a special announcement, I believe it was on June 1st or 2nd. I was able to view your video before I poured water on all over it. So if it's working now, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It's acting a little funny right now. But there has been a number of assassination attempts against him, hasn't there?
Yes, I mean, it's not unusual. I mean, you know, you can think of Reagan.
Right.
You know, several who've had a go at. Sometimes it's just literally a crazed guy operating on his own.
Sure.
Other times it's a really big operation. And I've got documented probably between 5 or 6 attempts on Trump's life since he came into office. Some of them very, you know, childish and ridiculous, and some bit more serious. But the point was that there'd been an attempt on his family's life. And I think that's probably the first time. I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, in order to get at a sitting president, they've gone for the family. So that's why he brought all his family with him. It's the first time when a president has left the US on a tour, he's taken all of his family with him. But he's done it because, you know, you've taken your army with you. There's no one left to guard the family. So he probably said, listen, you might as well, you're taking the kitchen sink, you might as well bring the kids over as well. We can do a good job of protecting them. So that's why he brought them over, because with his security over in Britain, he didn't really feel that, you know, that he would be stretching it a bit. So that's why he brought them over with him.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. I have to ask you, Simon, too, you made a special announcement a few days ago that this was a pivotal time in not only for his visit, but for the planet as well, that the next 2 weeks presented many wonderful opportunities for him to do good, for perhaps for disclosure, you know, to expose the cabal, some darker elements on the planet who are attempting to stop our ascension and evolution. Do you still expect good things to happen during this time?
I think they're happening. The problem is they're not happening publicly, and I've always had a problem with that. Your listeners know that I want things much more out in the open. Mm-hmm. But we did have the report, of course, of that particular guy who did so much good work for Hillary Clinton in hiding all her emails. You know, she was having official emails on her home computer, which is a very serious offense, especially when it's secret stuff. And this particular guy had done a lot of work in clearing it all up for her. Well, his house was raided while the president was in Britain. We have an eyewitness report of him with his girlfriend sitting outside the house in handcuffs while the agents go in and out of the house, bringing out computer equipment, I guess. Mm-hmm. So stuff is taking place, but I think probably it'll be another week or so before we get a fuller picture of exactly what's gone on. Just because we're not hearing about it now doesn't mean it's not happened. But I would hope within a week or 2 weeks, and I think I said 2 weeks,
right,
we'd hope to get some fuller picture of what's occurring. And you know yourself that we are now less than 4 weeks to July the 4th.
Right.
A very important date for America and Americans. Right. And I'm hoping that whatever is being dug up at this time as we speak might be presented around that time.
Well, that's a very good point, too. And for my many friends in beautiful Canada, of course, July 1st is Canada Day. So, and it certainly would benefit the world to have disclosure of some of the negative things which have been going on. I had an astrologist on my show about 5 years ago now, Simon. Her name was Susan Miller from New York City. And she's not a psychic, but she uses astrology and the movement of the planets to predict things. And she's very accurate and very good at what she does. And she said back in my show, back in the April of 2014, Simon, that this was an age of disclosure and truth, that things that are true will become self-evident as being true and be disclosed, and those that are false will also become self-evident as being false and subject and open for people to know about. So I've been, of course, watching and listening and on world events ever since that time for the past 5 years, and we've had a series of disclosures, I think, and this will continue. So I'm hopeful that this will be a pivotal time in human history, and that there will be disclosure on many different things to help benefit humanity.
Well, I hope so, because if it doesn't happen now, then when will it happen?
Right.
So many things are moving to make it possible, which weren't the case, 2 years ago. And, as I've always said, I want things in the public eye. And I have always understood that some things have to be done quietly, but right. at some point they have to be shared with the public. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the detective work that's done over this period, this week, 2 weeks or so, mm-hmm. and then that being shown to the public. While President Trump is out of the United States, it allows people to conduct their own investigations in a way that means the president is not in harm's way. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that in the next few weeks, let's say around July the 4th, that there's some information that can be shared, which would be a game changer. That's what I have.
Right, right. The other post that you had on your website recently was about George Nader. The key witness was arrested on charges of child pornography. He was also a key witness in the Mueller investigation. This gives me hope because, to engage in child pornography, that's a heinous crime. And the people responsible for it should be brought to justice, tried, and imprisoned.
Of course. And only a crazed person would disagree with you. But what right. is... from my perspective here, of great importance, is that sealed indictment is over a year old. And the reason I'm saying that is that people are saying, oh, look at all these indictments, they don't open them. Well, that had been sealed and waited for a year. So just because they are all these 100,000 now, mm-hmm. are just sealed and not opened, it doesn't mean they won't open them. And this guy, I think it's over a year, that's literally been sitting there waiting until they felt it was the right moment. When they opened it, they acted on it, and I think they picked him up. And I said it on my post. It was very appropriate, actually, because he was on his way. He was at JFK Airport when they intercepted him and picked him up. I thought that was a rather nice touch. So, they got him on that. He's already been done for it before, He mm-hmm. served 1 year outside of the US, but because of his mm-hmm. friends, he only served a year. They got him off.
Interesting.
So he's got a history of it, but you see, under President Trump, who is not a child hurter, this means he won't just get 1 year if he's found guilty, he'll get 10, 15. So what I'm saying is that there are things happening. We've just got to make sure that we report them to the public, because if we don't, nobody else will.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. You had another post of nozzles, strange nozzles on aircraft. And the first thing that came to my mind from my spirit friends on the other side, those were chemtrail nozzles.
Well, my goodness me, that post, I was really pleased. It got a huge response.
Right.
I was so pleased with that. We got a huge response. And what we actually got was pilots, serving pilots and ex-pilots who were able to give us their opinion on it. And what they were telling us was that this was indeed an exhaust for either oil or water. And it was an official thing, you know, it was depending on the type of aircraft, it was official, but it would be very easy to do something with it. So in other words, that is exactly what we're looking at. But their official job is to exude water or oil or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the very fact that they are an outlet for something tells us all we need to know about it. So yes, mm-hmm. that's it. So well done, the person that took that photo. Surprisingly few of those pictures around. That's a genuine picture, not a trick photograph, a genuine picture. And there you go, you see the nozzles. Fantastic.
I ran across an interview with an American pilot who'd escaped to Sweden, and I think he was given political asylum. I'm not sure. But he had escaped to Sweden last year. He was a chemtrail pilot for the U.S. Air Force. And I was able to contact somebody who did know him, but he still was too afraid to come on the air. But so I know that there are pilots out there who do know what's going on. But I think there have been a few that's come forward, not many, Simon. Have you talked to any pilots who've been engaged in that kind of thing?
No, I haven't, because I think these people could lose their job or worse.
Right. Yeah.
That's one of the most secret things. And the other thing is that, honestly, most of these pilots don't actually know it. Some of them do, but many of them don't. They fly their airplane. This thing, they don't switch it on themselves generally. Mm-hmm. It's all switched on automatically, and they haven't a clue, and they don't have a control over it. Mm-hmm. But there are some, of course, that are aware of it and do know what's going on.
Right.
But, you know, it's one of those things that it's very difficult to get anybody to talk openly about it.
Right.
You know, there was a guy who wanted to talk to me and did talk to me about the murder of Princess Diana.
Oh, really? Okay.
This is some years ago. And mm-hmm. he came to the house and he spoke to me. And then he lost his driving license for 3 months. So to punish him, they took away his driving license, then they gave it back.
Oh, interesting.
So they do hit back. So people have to be careful.
Right, right. Well, I hope there comes a time where they'll have more freedom to speak out against it. I look at chemtrails as a crime against humanity. And I mean, it's one of the strangest things, Simon, to see all these chemtrails across the skies. And then you look at your newspapers, none of them report it. None of the mainstream press really talks about it. And it's this weird kind of 1984 controlled media where you're not supposed to talk about it, or people think you're crazy to even mention it.
Yes, because of the people behind it are so powerful. And
sure.
Remember that they've infiltrated most of the established media.
Mm-hmm.
Who'll just turn down the news on it. So it's very difficult. And once we get a breakthrough, let's hope we get a breakthrough soon, then I think all this other stuff will come out. But
right.
Nobody wants to be the first person to get the ball rolling, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely, absolutely. There was a prediction that you mentioned on my program either the last time or last month, Simon, about India going with China. And they're, of course, age-old rivals. They had a war back, I believe, in 61 or 62, where China grabbed some of the territory that was Indian and have kept it since that time. But you had a post on Saturday, June 1st, about China choosing India and Trump removing the special protection from India as China and India made an economic pact.
Yes, I know that America had been working very hard to try to get India to join it as part of an economic wall against China.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, under President Obama, America was very pro-Pakistan. And then
right.
Trump came in, and Trump wanted to be very pro-India. But it looks like India has chosen to go with China, and as a result of that, Trump hasn't put any tariffs or hurt them. What he's done is he's removed their special, they had an exemption business-wise, he's removed that. So he's treating them equally, but it's clearly a warning shot because he's saying, look, if you're going to go with China, then you can't really be a friend of the US.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I don't see India being a long-term ally of China, though, just because in the past China has attacked India. I don't know. What do you think the long-term
will? I think India will go with anyone who's can make a commitment economically to it. Mm-hmm. Because what India wants is the trade routes that China have set up, but it wants to be able to undercut China with Indian products. Now, what India doesn't have is the access to the container craft, the container ships, but China does. So what India wants is Indian goods utilizing the Chinese network.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what China wants is access to India, because it's an emerging market. China's now reaching maxed out position. China's got nowhere to go now. So it's looking for India. So they both wish to gain something out of each other, and they're not going to get that deal from the US. So I think we will see India and China on an economic pact, but it won't be on a military pact or anything like that. It won't be anything more than just purely business.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that explanation. There was another post you had a few days ago on U.S. Veterans Associations. And back a couple days ago on June 1st, you wrote that Veterans Association warned that they would march on Washington, D.C. if any move was made to impeach President Trump. You wrote that this should not be seen as an idealist dreaming. You guys have had one civil war, and that's quite enough. And I'd love your comment on that.
Well, there's something like 1 million veterans signed up. And, you know, they feel very protective towards President Trump. You know, there's a recent YouTube, you can see it, where President Trump, in the last couple of weeks, was at a United States Air Force Academy, mm-hmm. and he personally wanted to shake the hand of every cadet in this academy who had graduated.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's the only person to, he was on his feet shaking hands with his cadets for 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Really? Oh my goodness. That's amazing.
3.5 hours.
Wow.
That's why the military love him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a veiled threat. If anybody illegally attempted to try and remove him, then there are certain elements that wouldn't sit for it. They wouldn't stand for that. So, it was, you know, let's cut to the chase here. Basically, the military, the United States military, couldn't make that statement themselves because mm-hmm. that call them into conflict with Congress.
Right.
But what they've done is used their voice piece, which is the Veterans Association. The veterans carried the message from the military, knowing that certain people in Capitol Hill would hear that. So that was the threat. And they've done this before when Obama was in office and there were issues. The National Guard in a number of areas were activated just to send a warning to President Obama. And the number of places where the National Guard were actually in their trucks or their vehicles and the engines were running, and then they were mm-hmm. told to stand down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not the first time they've done this. And that's mm-hmm. why the leader of the House will not go down the impeachment road for President Trump, unlike, of course, some of the other people that they tried to. But in this case, they won't,
sure.
because the military won't stand for it. So although some Democrats clearly want Trump impeached, you know, Nancy, who knows a lot more than most, is no way she's going to let that happen, because a lot of a lot of Democratic supporters who vote Democrat and have done all their life, they can't understand why, if President Trump is guilty, why they're not impeaching him.
And right.
The reality is it's just a game of politics. It is just right. a game of politics.
Right. I haven't watched CNN, the Cabal News Network, for years, actually. But the last time I did, they had nothing but nonstop about the Russian investigation. I think that was last year. And it's kind of unfortunate in a way because they fill their news stories with that, with the result the ratings have gone plummeted. As I said before, last year the Cartoon Channel actually has more viewers than the CNN does right now in the United States. So,
well, the thing is that they really pinned everything on this supposed collusion between President mm-hmm. Trump himself mm-hmm. and the Russian government.
Right.
Either they genuinely believed it, or they just were out to make as much trouble as they could. And of right. course, it's been proved to be a lie. Now, the question is, if people were willingly doing that, then that's treason. And, you know, the listeners may have seen just before he came to Britain, Trump made a little conference, and he mentioned a couple of names and said that he considered that treason had been done. Now, I've said to people privately, but I'll share it with you, that those people who were named, they'd better watch out, because if they're tried in Texas or a couple of other states where the death penalty is, then I can tell you that President Trump is going to push for the death penalty. Anybody who can be found guilty of treason can be put to the electric chair. There's no question mm-hmm. of it. So people who thought that they were above the law, thought that they could try and prevent a legitimate president, doesn't matter whether you like him or not,
sure.
he's legitimately elected, and somebody tries to remove him illegally, that's treason. And I think that we will publicly see something in the next few weeks about that.
Amazing, amazing. Well, following up on that, you had a post May 30th that the U.S. Attorney General, in an interview with CBS, had hinted where his counter-investigation is going, including who authorized the FBI to spy on the Trump campaign, were the CIA involved in Uranium One, the FISC report, and the biggest shock of all, investigation in the Clinton Foundation. Definitely a change of times, isn't it, with this?
Yes, because what happened is that whilst this supposed investigation into the non-existent collusion between President Trump and Russia, what the other side were doing, the pro-Trump side were doing, was saying, okay, right, well, we'll use this time quite wisely, and let's dig up what the other side are doing. So as right. that investigation went on, it was widened out, and they found a lot of information. Now, what I think was critical and surprised me was that the brief wasn't just what you'd think it would be. The brief was to actually look into the Clinton Foundation.
Mm.
Now, that is interesting, because if they were investigating the Clinton Foundation, that must mean that they suspect something. Now,
sure.
very interesting to see what comes out from that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to share with you a funny story, Simon. I just got into London yesterday from Iceland, and where I'm staying, I think I'm at a place where there's ley lines here in London, because I've actually have two or three different times. This is before I spilled water on my computer tonight, but my computer has advanced almost 15 minutes since I got here. My watch is 15 minutes behind, and I've checked all the clocks in the house, and it's also 15 minutes. And then my phone has a different time completely. So when that's happened before, I'm often in an energy vortex, a dimensional shift. So I think I'm in a portal. If I slip through it tonight, I'll get a hold of you somehow. But I either have like there's either like 7 minutes left, 17 minutes left, or 20 or 25 minutes left to my interview. So I guess I'll just have to wing it as far as time goes. But it's definitely weird. It's happened a couple times in my life too, where I've been in an energy vortex, a time dimensional shift. But I've got to be very careful walking around this place, because I may slip off into maybe November 1895. But anyway, so I wanted to mention that.
I don't think you need to worry. I think Eric will keep an eye on you, and he won't let you do that.
Okay, good. Thank you for that encouragement. You probably there. I got a question from one of my listeners, from James in Virginia, and he wrote that Dr. Michael Sella wrote a book last year about how the U.S. military, and this is a good question for you, Simon, with your background, how the U.S. military up until about 2016 had been involved, of course, with the reptilians and the Greys as part of this treaty that they'd signed way back in the 50s. But in 2016, there was a sea change where the U.S. Air Force in particular backed out of this agreement that the military had with the with the reptilians, and they've entered into a new agreement with somebody just brought me a watch with another time on it, so I guess I'll follow that they had entered into a new agreement with representatives of the Pleiadians or the Galactic Alliance for cooperation. Do you know much about about that, Simon? That would be fascinating to learn more about.
Well, it all started under President Obama and the interesting visit to Antarctica. With the change in president, you see that President Trump is a fifth dimensional person. He's the soul in President Trump's body is fifth dimensional, whereas President Obama was fourth dimensional, which means that people like the Pleiadians, Andromedians, who are fifth dimensional, would be more drawn to a commander-in-chief who was of the same background as they are. So the U.S. military had been waiting a long time for President Trump and had been waiting a long time to get rid of the arrangements they had. And so when their commander-in-chief changed his pattern, then they changed theirs. So basically, what you have now is the official line of the military in response to a much more positive extraterrestrial group, but you have your breakaway factional arm of the military still connected to the more negative forces.
When do you think this will be completely transfer over to the new good leadership?
Do you mean? I'm
sorry. Let me make it more specific, Simon. When do you think our cooperation with the negatives will end, and we'll be fully in the positive side of working with positive extraterrestrials?
I think that depends on your voters. If President Trump is returned, it will be midway through his second term of office.
Okay. Great. Great. I still see you, Simon, and I think I told you this several years ago, as an ambassador, for the planet with positive extraterrestrials and other extraterrestrial races beyond this planet. Not now, not next year, but perhaps in the coming years. And because of you're benevolent and you want the best for humanity, and I do see that happening, but maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years out.
Well, thank you, Ted. I rather hope it's quicker than that.
You're right. I hope so too, but that would be the slow road. Maybe.
Let's see what happens on July the 4th.
Okay.
And I know that's very cryptic, but let's see what happens on July the 4th. Let us see if President Trump is elected for a second term, and if he is. I know we're looking well into the future now.
Right.
Let us see who becomes the president after President Trump. Well, it won't be me because I'm not an American citizen, but that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is there's an important step here. First is July the 4th.
Right.
Then we've got to see if Trump is selected at the primaries and goes on and whether he wins. And then when he finishes his second term of office, who then stands for president? And that will be the final sealing up of the evil people, basically.
So, well, frankly...
Sorry, Ted, I'm just going to... I didn't mean to be rude and overspeak you.
That's okay.
It's not... This isn't going to happen tomorrow, but there is this plan, and that's what the plan is, and I've laid it out. But remember, it's all about free will, and if people decide that they don't want President Trump and they don't vote for him, then that isn't going to happen that way.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. We've got about, well, according to two watches I have in front of me, 10 minutes left, and I hope they're the right time.
Oh, my
Eric, Lord. Eric, if I'm in another time zone, let me know. Another dimension, let me know. but I'm assuming we got 10 minutes left. There was some questions on people wrote me in about this Virginia shooting on May 31st. These shootings where somebody goes berserk and an employee goes mad and they start killing people, are many of them? Are they false events in the sense that these are like MK Ultra people who've been programmed to do that, so that there's a conspiracy to take guns away from the American people? What do you think? Or is it truly sometimes people are just nuts and they start shooting people?
I think it's a mixture of everything. I mean, one of the things that I've always said, and I've been slightly I've disagreed with quite a number of commentators over these events. You know, it's very fashionable. A lot of commentators have said, look, you know, they're all full of actors,
right,
this, that, and the other. And I've always consistently said, no, people have actually died. Real people have died. And the issue is not that. What you've got to look at is the person who's doing it and what's in their head at the moment they're doing it. And in some cases, they are just literally screwy. There's no other way for it. But in other cases, I believe they've been on some sort of mental program. We used to call it hypnosis, now call it mind control.
Right.
It could either be a strange cult, it could be a satanic group, it could be anything.
Sure.
And they are not even in control of their own senses, and they go and do it. But the point I want to make is that in most of these cases, innocent people do die. And and I've taken issue with these people who say, oh, nobody died, it was all actors, all pretend blood. And I said to them, no, because if it's satanic, they want sacrifices.
Oh, I see.
And so people really did die. And
right.
So I have argued with that, because I've always said that people really did die, and I think that's an important point to make.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, Ted, it can be someone's just gone completely mad. They've got a real grudge or a grievance against their employer. And you've got the more sinister stuff where the person's, somebody's, you know, someone's got into their head and made them do it.
Right, right, right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Simon, I talked to the people of the Hollow Earth, and I did speak to Zora of the Hollow Earth here last week, and I asked him when he thought that the planet would be shifting into the fifth dimension. He thought parts of the planet would be shifting, Simon, by the end of December of 2021. Which is astounding. He said some parts would still remain in the third, fourth dimension, but there would be parts of it shifting into the fifth dimension. And he saw our evolution shifting into these higher dimensions faster than he even previously thought, that humanity was doing well. I remember last year, you said that there was a time last year, Simon, when things kind of slowed down and humanity needed to catch up and redouble their efforts, our efforts on ascension and creating a better planet. What is it? I know you talk about now as being a critical time. Are we still doing well as a group of humanity on our path to ascension, or have we slowed down again, or how are we doing
We've caught up. We were I can't remember exactly when it was, but when you asked me, we were in a bit of a swamp, really, in the sense that we were sort of very stuck.
Right.
But that we're out of that, and we're sort of moving forward now at a faster rate. And you always know what's happening because the way the news is. When we're getting truth coming out to us, It's because we're speeding up. When we seem to be hit with a lot of nonsense, then we've been slowed down. So I think originally we all thought maybe 2024, 2025.
Right.
But I would agree, I would even go 2020, 2021 now, for elements of the Earth, because you just can't go wallop like that. But I say between 2020 and 2021, there will be people reporting things and saying things that can only mean that some parts of the planet have actually ascended. And what that will be for those of us who haven't quite made it through at that time will be very interesting, because I genuinely don't know how this is going to play out. You know, I'd initially thought we would all go together, but I understand that that's too traumatic and that it has to be on a rolling program.
Right.
So I, you know, this is really exciting. What happens? Does half a block disappear? does
sure,
the corner,
right.
does the corner store disappear?
Right.
Or what, you know, it, but yes, I'd say 2020, 2021, we should begin to start seeing it. I mean, there are people, individual people, Ted, who've already, you know, they are getting glimpses. They'll look down the highway and they'll see a city. They'll blink and the city's gone. So there are individual people getting it already.
There's a something I learned about 10 years ago. It's a very profound lyric from a country song here in the States, and it goes something like this: "In heaven there ain't no beer, that's why we drink it here." Well, I mean, if you're at a pub, for example, and you're shifting into the fifth dimension, you're holding a glass of third dimensional beer, excellent beer, would the beer suddenly disappear out of your hand as you enter into the fifth dimension? That's an interesting point, but I don't know. But
it is an interesting point. I think the thing is, it's what we create and what we need. There are certain things in the fifth dimension that one, you know, wouldn't tolerate in the fourth, vice versa. So I think what we should be looking at is our feelings and our values. That's what's going to change. What we believe and what we think we need, that is what's got to be reassessed.
Right. A psychic told me recently that they thought that the energy would be increasing by 500 times by July of next month, and then 5,000 times by December of this year, and then 50,000 times by 2020, and another 500,000 times by the end of 2020, December, with the result that everything would be shifting into this fifth dimension by the end of 2021, on a rolling basis. Certain sectors would be coming in. So it's an interesting time to be alive, and I know all of us volunteered to be here. We've got about a minute and a half left, Simon, and I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Well, thank you, Ted. So basically what I would say is that it really is important what's going to happen in America. America will be setting the trend. It's vital that whatever happens in Capitol Hill is reported widely. I don't have any faith in most of the established media, so maybe some of these people who will be arrested will be very senior in the media. So if very senior media people are arrested, that sends a big signal to everyone else to be a bit more open and a bit more truthful. So let's see over the coming weeks some of these arrests, which I'm sure are going to take place, and they will be public. Let's see in the media and the entertainment industry who gets a hit. And let's see then the media changing and becoming a much more open and honest news broadcaster.
Well, that would be a refreshing change of pace, wouldn't it, for the mainstream media to tell the truth about actually what's going on in the world?
Yes, it would be. You know, it's just a part of what's taking place. I just ask your listeners just to be patient. Give it a few more weeks. Let's see what's going to develop, Ted.
Okay, wonderful, Simon. Well, Simon, thank you so much for coming on again today. And I know everyone's really enjoyed what you had to say. Everyone, please stay tuned. I'll be having James Redfield of the Celestine Prophecy on in just a few minutes. Thanks again, Simon. Have a wonderful evening.
But you know.